back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historic Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, today we're going to visit a site on the north side of Brandon where we find an abandoned concrete wall that was built in 1907. And I've found several others in my travels around the province.
Where is this wall located?
Well, officially, it's situated in the RM of Cornwallis, but it's on the outskirts of Brandon. It's about a quarter mile north of Veterans Way. That's the road from Brandon to CFB Shiloh. If you know where to look, it's visible from the road. When I first saw it many years ago when I lived in Brandon, I had no idea what it was. In fact, it was still mysterious to me when I walked out to it to get a closer look in 2013.
So describe it to us. What does it look like?
Well, it has two parts, the most conspicuous of which is a concrete wall about 130 feet long. There's a metal flange running along its top, and it sits on a small hilltop. The north-facing side of that wall is mostly smooth, although you can see the imprints of horizontal wooden boards that were used to make the forms that held the wet concrete, and they're readily visible. On the south-facing side of that wall, there's about 20 concrete buttresses perpendicular to the face of the wall. At first, I thought it might be the remains of a building. But as I got closer and looked at it more closely, it looks to me like the entire structure is there as it was originally built.
You mentioned two parts. What's the second part?
Right. There is a second wall about 100 feet south of the other one, and it runs parallel. This one isn't quite as readily visible from the road because it has soil banked up against its south-facing side, and it is partially obscured by a number of scrubby trees. But again, it's a stout concrete structure, and on this one, it has several indentations on its north side that look to me like either doorways or windows that are very shallow. Looks like they've maybe been blocked off, perhaps.
You said the structure was built in 1907. How do we know this?
Well, because on the west end of the north wall, there is a plaque. It was made by pressing metal letters into the concrete before it had set. Most of the metal letters themselves are gone, but the indentations are still readily legible. It says, and this is a quote, "Concrete crib work, PAT," which I assume stands for patented, January 1906, constructed by Paul T.C. DeMay, 1907. So there's where we know the year. And the plaque, along with help from military historian Bruce Toscona, is what provided the vital clues that helped me to finally identify the structure. It is a former stop butt.
And what is a stop butt?
Well, it's also called a practice butt. It's intended to provide a solid backstop, usually covered partially with soil or sand, to contain gunshots fired at an outdoor shooting range.
Why were people shooting bullets at a concrete wall at the site near Brandon?
Well, listeners will recall that 2 weeks ago, our theme was the military armories around Manitoba. Well, one of them was the wonderful old armory on Victoria Avenue in Brandon. It was built as the home for the 12th Manitoba Dragoons. Tenders for its construction were issued in mid-1907. And the successful bidder was a construction firm from Ottawa. Work started in October of 1907, but it appears that that firm did other projects at Brandon on behalf of the federal government because its senior partner was none other than Paul T.C. DeMay, the name given on that stop butt.
And what do we know about Mr. DeMay?
Interesting guy. He was born in 1849 in Quebec, it was called Lower Canada at that time, and he began working as a land surveyor in the area immediately around Ottawa. His name appears on numerous survey documents from the 1880s. When the Klondike Gold Rush started in the late 1890s, he went north and he surveyed Crown land in the Yukon, including the original site for the city of Whitehorse. In the early 20th century, he appears to have switched careers to building construction. Perhaps he was motivated by the fact that there was declining opportunities for survey work as most of the land was now fully surveyed. Although Mr. DeMay lived in Brandon during construction of the armory and the stop butt, he maintained his primary residence in Quebec, and he returned there after the work was done. He died in late 1925 and was buried at Gatineau across the river from Ottawa.
Who used the stop butt that Mr. DeMay built in at Brandon?
Well, civilian members of the Brandon Rifle Association were permitted to use the stop butt in its first year of construction, 1907. But it was intended primarily for use by militia forces from the Brandon Armory. They needed outdoor space for training in such matters as riflery. The site was known variously as Camp Brandon, or I came across a reference to something called Camp Aylmer, but its life as a military training site seems to have been short. Camp Sewell, a much larger facility about 16 miles to the east, opened in 1910, just 3 years after the butt was built. And in 1915, Camp Sewell was renamed Camp Hughes after a prominent First World War general, Sam Hughes. It was one of the largest training facilities in Western Canada during the First World War. It was later relocated to the south to become Camp Shiloh. Well, so in other words, this long-abandoned stop butt along Veterans Way is sort of an evolutionary step in the development of today's CFB Shiloh.
You said in your clue that you have found other such structures around Manitoba. Whereabouts do we find them?
Well, stop butts were a fairly standard feature of military bases that were built during the Second World War as part of the Commonwealth Air Training Plan. I've found at least three others. One is along Highway 20 east of Dauphin at the former site of the No. 7 Bombing and Gunnery School. A second butt is at the Dauphin Airport south of the city. It was formerly the No. 10 Service Flying Training School. The third stop butt is northeast of Souris at the site of the former No. 17 Service Flying Training School. In all three cases, the butts consist of a vertical concrete wall with soil piled up against the side on the side that was used for riflery. There's a pair of buttresses on the backside, and in most cases, one or two small rooms tucked into corners where the buttresses fasten to the butt. Now, these rooms, they have a single door, they have a single window. I assume they were offices for military personnel who supervised training at the butts, or maybe they were storage space for ammunition. I just don't know, but maybe there's a listener out there who's familiar with the design nuances of stop butts, and perhaps they can explain them to me more fully. And if so, I'd be very grateful to hear from them.
It all sounds so curious still.
Well, yeah, exactly. See, that wall there that I drove past, I mean, I for years wondered what it might be. And I bet you Brandonites have as well. So at least I can tell you a little bit about it. I just don't know much about the exact specifics of the way that it was designed.
The mystery continues. So what's up for next week?
Well, listeners who are familiar with television's Sesame Street may recall an elephant who operated an elevator that, because of his considerable size, had no room for passengers. Next week, we are going to consider an elephant elevator of an entirely different kind. This one at Hamiota.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.